Good morning. If you're like me, it's good to be out of your own house and be in this house this morning. It is a good day to gather in the Lord's house to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we begin our time of worship, I did want to update you on a few things that have happened over the last couple of days and just remind you about how we go about canceling or postponing ministries here at First Baptist Elon. First off, many of you got the word that Helen Bennett passed away early Friday morning, and we just want to keep her in our prayers, her family in our prayers. The funeral service will be held Tuesday afternoon here at the church at 2 p.m. Visitation will take place for the family an hour preceding the service from 12:45 to 1:45. So please be in prayer for them. Come on Tuesday afternoon to extend your condolences to the family and also to stay for the time of celebration of life that will take place then. Also, want to remind you about our cancellation policy. We try to get the word out as soon as we can, as many different ways as we possibly can. Sunday mornings, for example, today, we usually try to have the decision made by 9 a.m. in the morning. I know for many of you, you're already getting ready by that time, but 9 a.m., we want to wait to the last minute just to be safe procedure-wise. If able to be here at the church, we send out an email. We also place it on Facebook, but we also call WFMY News 2, where you can look at the scrolling list of churches at the bottom of the screen to tell you what the decision is made. We're going to be working with the deacons over the next couple weeks to try to get the word out even to our Sunday school classes and the prayer chains. So, for example, this morning when we had to cancel Sunday school, their word will get out. So please bear with us, but there's three ways that we're already doing that, and we're working on a fourth way. So we look forward to hopefully not having to worry about that the rest of this winter season, but you never know. So that's what I want to let you know this morning. Now I want to turn it over to Laura to share about a special ministry that children are doing on Sundays.
Thank you, David. It is a sweet sound to hear children quoting scripture. Since January, the children in our evening activities have been learning and memorizing a verse each week. We're using material from the North Carolina Bible Drill, and at this point, they have memorized five scriptures, along with the exact location of the verses in the Bible, and many of them can go to right to it. It's really neat to see. So I'd like for all the children that have been involved in this program to join us up here. There are 13 kids that are participating. Olivia, Catherine, Samuel, Luke, Mark, Danny, Tristan, Mason, Rachel, Mary, Evan, Jacob, Garrett. Yeah, good job, you guys. James writes in 1:18 that God gave us birth by giving us the word of truth. And Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. As we work to help our children understand our faith, we must help them understand and learn the scripture that God gave us. And as the psalmist says in Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So congregation, please encourage these children. Pray for them. And when you see them in the hall or you see them in Sunday school, ask them about their scripture verse for the week. They'll be happy to share it with you.
Thank you. I saw my head shake.
So our ministry highlight is an invitation to all children to come and be a part of our scripture memorization program. And also that tonight we are going to have a special celebration in the choir room during the 5:30 music portion of our evening activities. All children, even if you're not up here, all children are invited to be a part of this celebration. Good job, you guys. Isabella, our guest vocalist, is not well this morning. So Catherine Farnham is going to call us into worship.
This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms 118:24.
Amen.
So good to see all of you. I don't know about you, but I feel just great getting outside of the house. I've been a little stir crazy. We had a lot more ice, I think, than some, especially on some of the streets in Mevin. But we even saw snow flurries this morning, and I'm thinking, no! But I'm glad to be here. I wore my yellow shirt in honor of the sun. I'm just thankful. I don't know about you, but I'm very thankful that God lets the sun come up. Would you pray with me as we ask God's blessings upon our worship today? Let us bow in prayer. Father God, we come into this place to humble ourselves and to open our hearts and minds to your leadership, your direction, hopefully your wisdom. Lord, we do so with the understanding that you don't even have to bother with us. But you love us so much. You made us. You uniquely crafted each one of us. You gifted us. You gave us the power to understand your word. And then you gave us the power of the Holy Spirit to practice your word. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we have together. May our words and the meditations of our heart truly honor you in all that we say and do. Let us truly praise you today for your infinite care of each one of us and for the world that we live in. Bless this day and bless our worship. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand for our song of worship and praise. And I'd like to invite Shine and any of the youth that want to sing this with us to come on forward. Let's stand and sing 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name.
Please sing with us.
The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your songs again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh, my soul, worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name.
As y'all are seated, I want to invite our children to come forward for our children's time, but yesterday afternoon and evening, I had a chance to go with 26 of our youth and college students to the Winter Jam concert, something they do every year in Greensboro Coliseum. Place was packed. I mean, sell out, full house, people worshiping just like you did this morning. Now, there's something about a concert that the energy, the Spirit of God moves throughout the room. And so I hope this morning in our time of worship, you feel that same spirit. I still got a buzz from last night. I'm still singing, my ears are still buzzing, but it's a wonderful opportunity, and we never want to quench the Spirit. So when you feel that Spirit, grab hold and see where He'll take you. Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing? Good. Did y'all have fun playing in the snow? Yes. How many of y'all built snowmen? All right. How many of you had snowball fights? How many of you went sledding? How many of you missed days at school? How many of you will be going on Saturday to make them up? Yep, unfortunately, I think it's going to happen. Well, I have a feeling most of you in your classes at school were scheduled to have some kind of Valentine's party, right, on Friday. And that just didn't happen, did it? Just didn't happen to have that Valentine's party. You're having it on Monday. Well, I think that's probably what most people do. And Valentine's is always cool. When I was a little kid, I liked to look at all the Valentines I received from my friends at school, you know, see which ones wrote Be Mine or You're Number One and all that stuff. Of course, we giggle about it because it depends on who it came from. It's always lots of fun. There's lots of different ways that we can express love to people around us, right? Lots of different ways. And Valentine's, we're all about it. There's so many different ways. You can, as I said just a minute ago, give Valentine's to your friends at school. This is what Jennifer picked out. She loves Minions, and she was giving those to her children she teaches at play school. This thing that says, I've got your back, Valentine's. See, two from, it's, I guess it's to me. But that's one way you can show it. How many of y'all got something like that are going to give to your friends at school on Monday? Anything? Not necessarily the Minions kind, but yeah, right? You did. Okay. Question, how many of, Star Wars, good one, how many of you got candy to give to your friends at school? Something like, I don't know, maybe something like this, right? Candy is always a great way we can tell people we love them, right? Here's another question. How many of you got flowers to give your friends at school? Danny, you did? Really? Do you know about this, Laura? I don't think she knows. That's another way that we can show people that we love them is by sending them flowers. Just a simple way. Flowers get expensive, though. Just warning you for that in future purposes. Okay? Unless you pick it out of a garden, as long as it's your garden, then you don't get in trouble. Flowers. Another way we say, I love you. This is the way that the boys told me they loved me. They gave this to me. This is their Valentine to me. Pretty cool, right? That's neat. How many of you gave your parents Valentine something like this? Well, guess what?
They go on sale after Valentine's is over. So if you forgot, go get it this week and give it to them. They'll still love it, okay? That's the way you can do it. This is the Valentine that Jennifer gave me. My wife gave me. This is how she said that she loves me this Valentine's Day. I'm sure your mom and dad's probably gave Valentine's like this to each other. No? Again, they go on sale after Valentine's is over. So there you go. You're usually ones give. They probably gave them to each other too. There's lots of different ways that we can say I love you. But you know what? The best Valentine I ever got, the best way that someone has expressed his love for me has nothing to do with any of this. Did you know that? It has to do with this. This is the greatest Valentine that was ever given. This was the greatest expression of love that has ever been given. Because Jesus gave his life for us. And because he loves each one of us, he died on the cross for us. You know, we can express love in so many different ways. The scripture says there's no other greater love than this, than you sacrifice yourself for someone else. And that's exactly what Jesus did. So, when you get all your Valentines tomorrow at school, the late ones, you know, or when you go home and you see what you got for Valentine's Day from your parents or family members or friends or whatever, you know, whatever it may be, I want you to be reminded that this is the greatest gift of love. Okay? We're going to have a word of prayer. And after a word of prayer, I'll give you a piece of candy because I love each one of you too. All right, let's stand up and have a word of prayer. Yes, ma'am. Why is there a panda? I knew that you were going to ask that, Catherine. It's because I put it on the wrong side. There's another way we share love to people. We give them stuffed animals. There you go. As you can tell, right there. So, lots of different ways, but this is the greatest way. Let's stand up and have a word of prayer. I'm going to put this gift of love right in the middle of us this morning so we can be reminded of that, okay? As we pray, instead of closing your eyes, why don't you look at the cross? Let's pray.
Father, we are in a season of love where we celebrate the people around us we love, our family, our friends, our neighbors, everyone. But Father, may we be reminded that you gave us the greatest gift of love, and that is your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. Because of your love for us, you sent him. Because of the love he showed for us, we can conquer sin. And Father, we are thankful, and we love you, and we love everyone. In the Lord's name we pray.
Let's stand for our offertory hymn. It's in your hymnal, number 15. It's also on the screen. Come, thou fount of every blessing.
To sing thy praise, strength of mercy.
Let us bow for prayer. Father God, we are in a season where we express the love that we have for the people around us. And what better way than to bring our offerings to you this morning, to offer them to you so you can express love through this congregation, in this community, and in this world. Father God, we ask special blessings upon the offerings this day. May they be pleasing to you, and may they be used to lift your name. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. This morning and this week, our prayer revolution focus is our worship accompanist. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that each one of us is blessed with spiritual gifts, and in those gifts that God blesses us with, we're called to use them for Him. What better way to do that, and then on Sunday morning worship, where our body gathers together as a family, to worship and to celebrate, and we are a blessed congregation for the worship accompanists we have. You'll notice on the back side, or not the back side, the inside page of your worship bulletin, the names of those individuals who have served on a Sunday basis or throughout the year. This morning you have had a chance to experience Becky Franks playing the piano and blessing us with her gift. Janie Brown, who's been playing the organ for us and blessing us with her gifts. This morning, we've also had a chance to hear Sally Farnham playing drums. She also plays the brass as well. Trey Prim playing the guitar. Rick Evans also playing the guitar. Laura playing piano. Margaret Miller playing piano and organ. Dreama playing brass as well. So many different ways that we can be blessed and use the gifts we have given us. Now, the thing about this list that you see in your bulletin is this is not a completed list, because many of you sitting out here this morning are blessed in ways that you can enhance our worship experience. And when I was talking to Laura about the opportunities in our congregation to use the gifts for worship, she said, please, please, please tell them, come to me and we will use their gifts. We're thankful that we have the opportunity to worship and celebrate God in this place. And we're thankful for the many gifted individuals that we have in this congregation who share on Sunday mornings. I encourage you this week to pray for each of these individuals who lead us in worship on Sundays. I also encourage you, as you leave this morning, don't be the first one in the parking lot to get to lunch, but be one of the first ones to come to one of our accompanists and say thank you. We are so blessed in so many different ways. We even have college students like Kristen Eiler, who helps on the organs on a regular basis. You know, this is what worship is all about. Thank you, accompanists. Thank you. Thank you for using your gifts. And thank you, congregation, for giving the opportunity for these individuals to share their love for God through the gifts that God has blessed them with. Let us go to the Lord in prayer and lift them up this day. Father God, Scripture tells us to make a joyful noise to you. And Father, when we gather here for worship as a family, that's what we do. We celebrate who you are. We celebrate what you've done for us. And we celebrate the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And that's not just what we return in the offering plates on Sunday morning, but that's what we give to you in our time of worship every single day. Especially as we gather here as the family of God at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings, we have an opportunity to lift up the gifts for you, and we are thankful. Father God, we are thankful for being blessed, a blessed congregation, with so many individuals that give of their time and their gifts and their talent to lead in worship and to lift you up. Father God, I hope each one of these individuals sees it as a ministry, sees it as an opportunity to honor and praise you. And as we gather in this place and worship together, may we do the same thing. Father God, we are a blessed congregation. And for those that have not come and led in worship yet, but are blessed in that way, Father, I ask that you give them the encouragement and the courage to step up and say, I want to honor you with a gift that you have blessed me with. Father, we are thankful. We lift you up this day. We lift up our congregation. We lift up our worship. And we lift up our worship accompanists to you this day, because we say thank you. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, choir, and thank you for accompanying us. I don't believe that the worship would be anywhere as near to the glory of God as it is without our accompanists, and I thank you as well. Sometimes I think I can sing, and sometimes I think people tell me I can't sing, so I sing solo. Solo, most people can't hear me. That is really an old joke, I've just got to tell you. I'm sorry, I used that on you this morning. But sometimes we need to remind ourselves of where we come from. I don't know if you realize it or not, but the one thing that will grab you more than anything else is when you realize that as a believer and a follower of Christ, is that God Himself has appointed you as His instrument of grace. I want you to hear that very carefully. God Himself has chosen you as his instrument of grace. That doesn't really sink in until you realize and can feel and receive the grace that God has intended for you. You see, in order to give grace and to show grace, you have to receive grace. I'm amazed in this new world that we're in. I'm really going to date myself. But I can remember living in my grandparents' house and having no TV. Seriously. In the evening, they listened to the radio. Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? Yeah, if just the shadow does. Okay, well, then you heard it. Amos and Andy, there were just a lot of great programs on TV back in those days. But I can tell you right now that nothing has astounded me more than the advances we've made in the last few years. When Steve Jobs announced after a couple of years that he was going to step down as CEO of Apple, it marked the end of a really outstanding career. Before he decided to make that decision, he had announced a revolutionary thing, something called an iPhone, which he described as a cell phone, an iPod, and a handheld computer. I was amazed the first time I saw one. It had more power in it than this huge desktop computer I had bought to work on my dissertation. It was just astounding how much more. I had to put something called a floppy disk in. If you bent it too much, you lost all your data. Today, it's amazing that there is a little bitty chip inside that is now about a quarter the size of my thumbnail that has something like 200 times the power that my big computer had. But what's amazing about it is somebody decided to develop new applications. And now there's an app for almost anything. I'm not going to tell you which member of my family, but I have a member of my family that constantly gets lost, even with a GPS. And so there's an app on your phone that you can put on there that if they have their phone on, they can track you. And so they put this app on my relative's phone so that other members of the family could know where she was and tell her where she was when she called to say, I don't know where I am and I don't understand the GPS. By the way, there are certain parts of Mississippi, Tennessee, and Alabama that the GPS does not work. There are blind spots. You can be driving. Your little car on the screen will be moving, but they won't show you any roads. It just doesn't work there. What I am trying to say to you this morning is that there is a real life force in every single believer. And it's directed by someone who has all the applications man will ever develop encapsulated in that relationship with him. The key to being a real force in life, however, the opening of the door, the understanding that comes when we begin to do two things. One is to serve. Just serving. If you don't believe it, serve in some capacity. Don't expect anything back. And see if you don't walk away from the experience feeling much better about yourself. I have seen it happen to more people, more times than I can even count. That until they got under the load and began to understand what people were going through, they did not appreciate, nor did they understand what opening the door to service meant. The other is to give our lives away. We have a meter running, each one of us, and I don't know how long your meter is going to last. I don't know how long my meter is going to last. But each one of us have a meter inside of us, and we are going to share those minutes, those seconds, those times with people, or we're going to try to hold them all to ourselves. I can tell you right now, the greatest joy you'll ever have is giving yourself on behalf of other people. God said that, as David so aptly pointed out this morning, the supreme mark for love. He sent his son to give us life. The least we can do is give our lives for the benefit of others. When we really grasp God's grace in our own life, it becomes easier to do that. Now, I'm not telling you that you just destroy your life. But when I think of the people down through the years that have made a difference, I look at some real heroes. Albert Schweitzer just comes to mind for some reason. I hope you read about him in your history books, young people. The amazing thing is somebody went looking for him, found him in a village where they had no medical care, and he was there serving. And, of course, the famous line, Dr. Schweitzer, I presume, was the man that he spoke to. I'm telling you that whatever God has called us to do, whether it's leadership or the administration of health or giving, it's all supernatural in capacity. And it develops through our ability to touch the kingdom of God through the power that God gives us. Today, I just want us to explore a simple idea. You're one of God's children. You've been especially chosen by Him, and there are purposes and jobs that He wants to give you. He did it all through the miracle of His grace. There's a miracle that's recorded in the Gospels. It's the only one recorded in all four Gospels. But it happened, if you want to take your scripture and turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. I love this miracle because I like to eat. Let that sink in, Baptist. I had no doubts that Elon was among the Baptist faith when I found out that you have a meal every Sunday night. And then occasionally you have them on Wednesday nights. And then you have other nights that you do other things on. And occasionally you feed on that. And then you have a children's sermon, you give away more stuff. I'm telling you, it just happens. Would you read silently with me as I read aloud? Just after John the Baptist is beheaded, Jesus took his disciples and they departed. And so it begins in verse 13 from the Message. When Jesus got the news, the death of John the Baptist, he slipped away by boat to an out-of-way place by himself. But unsuccessfully, someone saw him, and the word got around, and soon a lot of people from the nearby villages walked around the lake to where he was. When he saw them coming, he was overcome with pity and healed their sick. Toward evening, the disciples approached him. We're out in the country, and it's getting late. Dismiss the people so they can go to their villages and get some supper. But Jesus said, there's no need to dismiss them. You give them supper. All we have are 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they said. Jesus said, bring them here. And then he had the people sit on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and lifted his face to heaven in prayer, blessed and broke and gave the bread to the disciples. Then the disciples gave the food to the congregation. They ate their fill. They gathered 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 were fed. We might just ask this question this morning. Why is it that that event, that miracle, in every single account of the life of Jesus, why is it there? Why did the Holy Spirit, who inspired the writing of the Bible, want every biography of Christ to include that particular message? Brings me to my first point this morning. And this simply is this. When there is a need, when there is a concern, when there's something that God wants to do in this world, you are His instrument. You are His grace. And in modern jargon, you might as well say you're His application or His app. I'm telling you, when people are hungry, they need to be fed. We don't need to look very far to find need in this community. There are all sorts of situations where there's great need. Now I'm going to tell you, sometimes we go in our own strength. My grandfather was a great guy. I had two of the greatest granddads ever. I call one of them granddaddy, and the other one I call Papa. My mother had some business she wanted to take care of, and she happened to be at my grandfather's, and she was picking us up, and she said, "Well, I really need somebody to keep them for me if you can." We were 5 and 6. It just so happened it was in the fall of the year, and my grandfather had been looking for a reason to escape the home place and go to the Mid-South Fair where they were showing all the animals. You see, he was a cattle farmer, and he raised cotton and corn and soybeans. But he'd always tinkered with the idea of getting into the hog market. Hogs were unpredictable. A lot of people would see the price begin to rise, and everybody in the world would jump into the hog business because it's easy to get into pretty quick. So he wanted to go see the hogs. So he told my mother, "Lois, I'll take them, and I'll take them to the fair." Well, you know what that does to two children. We just absolutely went berserk. We were ready to go. She said, "Mr. Farmer, I'm not sure you're able to keep up with them. You're taking them to the fair where there are going to be thousands of people. You're taking them to a place where there's going to be a lot of distractions. Are you sure you can keep up with them?" "Oh, yeah, I can take care of it." So she said, "All right." So he loaded us up in his pickup truck. No air conditioning, by the way. We drove the 52 miles to Memphis, Tennessee, where the Mid-South Fair was occurring. We get out, and before we can go anywhere, he says, "Now, before I let y'all go to the fair, I want to go and look at the animal barns where they're showing the prize cattle and sheep and dairy cows and pigs and everything else." So he went straight, made a beeline to the farm. And they had many examples of many different breeds, and they were giving prizes to the top breeds of hogs. We got down there, and there was a new race of pig that had come out called a land race. It's a big, long, white pig, and it gets really big and really quick. Now, I'm building the tension for this story because I want you to understand that an older guy in his 70s probably shouldn't be turned loose in the Mid-South Fair with two small children. But my granddaddy was a brave man or a foolish man, one or the other. I'm not sure which. But we get to the barn, and he discovers this new breed of pig that he can take to market in 6 months, so it would beat most other pigs to the market. And he gets to talking to the owner of this one particular sow that she had like 16 little piglets. And I was just fascinated. And he got to talking to that man and forgot about my sister and me. And I got so interested, I just crawled over in that pen. And I decoupled one of those pigs. I pulled him loose from his mama, and he began squealing. And when the man who owned the pig turned around to look to see what was going on, he saw me over in the pen. That old sow was trying to get up. She was trying to eat me alive right there. And that man grabbed me and pulled me straight up like this, my feet hanging down. He said, "Drop the pig, drop the pig." I finally got the message, and I dropped the pig. At the end of the barn, there was a little caged Ferris wheel. Seats that were meant for small children, and a cage so that you could not fall out. My grandfather pulled that stunt where he said, "Oh, I think I'm having a heart attack." He wasn't. He was just scared. He said, "I don't know what I'm going to do with these two." The man said, "Well, I believe there's a little Ferris wheel down here. I bet you could put them in there for a little while." He marched us down there. And the old fellow sitting there running the Ferris wheel stood up when my grandfather walked up, and he asked the man, "How much would it cost to keep them in here for a little while?" And he pulled out a $10 bill. Now, let me tell you, back in the early 50s, $10 was a lot of money. He said, "Will this keep them in there for a while?" And he said, "Yes, sir, it'll keep them in here as long as you want to leave." Now, I'm telling you this because I really believe my grandfather had a gracious heart. But his goal in mind was to go so he could see something and not have to explain where he was and what he was doing. But I'm telling you, if you put it in your head that you want to go do something, you can go do it. We took a little lady down to Brazil who was a nurse, 87 years young. Of all the people who went, she was the only one that didn't get sick. She was the only one that worked around the clock almost, it seemed like. And she was the only one that came back just saying what a great trip it was, because the rest of us either had some kind of stomach flu or we were just so exhausted and tired, or some of us fell, and I believe one person even cracked a finger or something. But I'm telling you, if God called you, He's going to give you what you need to accomplish His purpose if you will see what is out there in need. I'm so proud of this church. I came, and the more I learn about this church, the more excited I am about the future of this church because of what God can do with people who are willing to open their hearts and minds to God's leadership. When you ask people what makes you want to do things, what drives you? Sometimes it's your curiosity. Sometimes it's your desire to fulfill a personal need. But I'm telling you right now, you'll never feel any better about the future than when you say to God, "Here am I, use me." I went to my first little church in North Texas, and I can tell you that it wasn't many people there. And I began to ask them, who's going to do this? And every single question it was, "We are. We are." Now, I got to tell you, North Texas, it was sparsely populated, so we didn't have many people, but I never had anybody say anything but, "I'm willing." When things break down in life, God turns to each of us and says, "You're it." We're to do what we can, while we can, as long as we can, in order that we may glorify God as much as we can. I'm telling you right now, God wants to use every single person here. If you're a follower of Christ, there is a call on your life. No matter what your profession is, the call is part of Christ's mission here on this planet for you and for me. And I do mean His mission and His cause. Make no mistake about it, Matthew 28, Jesus gave us the clearest and most direct missional edict. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them, these new disciples, to obey all the commands I've given you. And sure, be sure of this, I will always be with you, even to the end of the age. So what is God doing? First and foremost, I believe He's reclaiming a lost world for Himself. He gave us free agency, the ability to make our own choices. I'm sure sometimes if you're a school teacher or you're a person of authority and you're holding people responsible, that you're going to come across this idea that I must answer for my own choices. I tell parents every day, the best blessing you can give this world is to make your child responsible for their own choices. I believe that with all my heart. I hear every kind of excuse in the world sometimes about why things aren't done. But the one thing that you must teach your children is, look, when you make a choice, own up to it, understand it, and then purpose in your heart to do something different the next time if it's not something that's pleasing. I can tell you right now that that is the backbone of any society, is that we're willing to take responsibility for our own choices. God wants to restore marriages and strengthen families. He wants to infuse a sense of calling into every single life. And most of all, He wants to change our destinies. When we give ourselves to God, Great Commission called, it's rooted in the narrative of God's love for us in itself. You can give your life a lot of things that don't promote the cause of Christ. You can serve in countless areas that don't build up the church. You can volunteer in any sorts of, in numbers of places in the community. That's all well and good. But if you do it for the cause of Christ, it opens doors. I never saw a church change any more than my last charge after we started doing hurricane work. We had a disaster relief team. And people started going and seeing the desperate need that people found themselves in after huge disasters. Floyd was the first one that we actually got heavily involved in. But I can tell you, some of their attitudes began to change across boundaries, ethnic, racial, economic, because they were going and getting under the load. The Bible says in Galatians 6, "Bear ye therefore one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." We're not doing the full work of Christ until we're willing to bear one another's loads. God is the power for your app. Which brings me to my second point. If you're afraid that you can't go do it, then perhaps you're not going to go do it. But if you believe in your heart of hearts that God is going to empower you and give you the strength and courage you need to achieve what He wants done, then you can go do anything He calls you to. Anything. So when He chooses you, He empowers you. God powers you, brings you, He offers you, so that what you do, He multiplies it in you. Do you think that Jesus needed the loaves and fishes? No, He could have just spoken it and food would have appeared. Remember the escape from Egypt? And they discovered the manna. What is it? I don't know what it was. Well, I can tell you right now that if you're looking for specific answers, sometimes God does miraculous things if we open our heart to hear the call of Christ in our life. I will never know any greater satisfaction than knowing that I found something God wanted me to do. And I just said, "Lord, here am I. Use me." Is God calling you to give your gifts and abilities? Absolutely. But let me say this again. No one of you can do it all. We all have our limitations. I took three of my children at the time over to my mother. She had a heart condition. And she said, "Terry, I'll keep them." This is another story about a grandparent keeping small children. And I came back in an hour or two. I just had a few errands to run. It took a little more time than normal. I got to talking and I forgot what time it was. I get back to the door. She met me at the door and she had her hands on the two smallest ones and she was looking mean at the third one. And I said, "Mommy, you okay?" She said, "Son, I love you." His first words out, "Son, I love you. But don't you ever bring all three of them over here again." She said, "I don't think my heart can take it." She said, "I thought I could keep up with them, but they're faster than I am." She said, "And they're hiding from me. They're getting in closets, and they climbed up in one of them in the cabinet, and I didn't know where they were, and I just was about to get frantic." She said, "I even thought about calling the fire department to come find them. I knew they were in the house, but I didn't know where they were." This brings me to the third point I want to make today. That God's grace plus God's power gives you a force in life that can change this world. Don't you think for one minute that your ideas are not worth hearing. Don't you think for one minute that your effort is not worth doing. Don't you think for one second that your determination to move in a different direction for the benefit of others will not change this world, because I believe it absolutely will. And I'm convinced that if we'll practice that, it will make a huge difference, not only in this church, but every church. I believe that those two things, your grace received by God, the power that God uses to invoke His blessing in you for the benefit of others, gives you a force that overcomes every single difficulty. In his book, The Volunteer Revolution, Bill Hybels talks about how someone once asked if he felt awkward about asking people to give their lives to God and the mission of the church. He responded, and I quote, "During the next few months," he's talking to his congregation, "you're going to meet people who stand at drill presses 10 hours a day, 5 or 6 days a week. When they go home at night, few of them sense the pleasure, meaning, and purpose of life they've heard about advertised in beer commercials and computer systems. They're godly, conscientious people. They feel thankful for their jobs, but they don't find satisfaction in their souls standing 10 to 12 hours a day over a drill press. You're going to meet fine, hard-working people who make a living in real estate and show 30 to 40 homes a week, and if they're lucky, one buyer might make an offer. But they're not lucky every week, and many extroverts who love showing property and helping families find the right home, but even then they probably don't arrive at home feeling satisfied. You'll meet insurance people if you move out in life who've been selling policies for 20 years. And they feel grateful that insurance business puts food on their table and sends their kids to college. And the thought of selling one more policy probably doesn't float their emotional boat. You're going to meet car dealers, stockbrokers, bricklayers, policemen, plumbers, judges, lawyers. You're going to meet people in careers who will, if they're honest, say to you at some time or another, 'I'm not really satisfied.' Some of them love their jobs. They feel stimulated and energized by their work. Some of them even leave their workplace every day knowing they've honored God. But few of them would say, 'Hey, this is what life is really all about.' You see, young people below the age of 50 and younger, you're still trying to find your place in life and to achieve what you're going to achieve. You're asking, 'How can I get there? How can I move up? How can I achieve more?' But let me tell you, when you hit 50, there's another switch that clicks on. Why am I here? What did I accomplish? What purpose do I have?" And you're going to get there. If you live long enough, you're going to get there, and you're going to ask that question. But I'm telling you that God's got a plan for your life, and that you can feel satisfied and you can feel joy in the choices you make if you'll listen to what God has to say. Hybels looked at the man who had asked him about that situation in his book. And again, I quote, he says, "You and I get to invite people to be used by God in ways they never imagined. We have the opportunity to empower them to develop gifts they didn't even know they had. We can cheer them on as they courageously assume new levels of kingdom responsibility that will fill their hearts to overflowing. And we get to see the look on their faces when they realize that God has used them. God has picked you out of all humanity to do that particular chore. I'm telling you, there's no greater joy than finding what God has called you to do and feeling like that God is not only going to use you, He's going to bless you and make you a blessing to others. Sometimes in church, it's more comfortable to sit back and be an observer. But I'm telling you, observing is great, but it's not near the blessing that being and doing is. So I challenge you this morning. Don't wait. Don't delay. Don't stay on the sidelines. You may be like my mom. Oh, she took them one or two at a time after that, but she wouldn't take all three of them anymore. Find your limitations. God knows what they are. But use the abilities God has given you to become what He has asked you to be. His instrument of grace in a world that is sinful but needs His mercy, and you are that instrument. I believe that with all my heart. I am so thankful for this church. It has made me proud to be Baptist. It's made me thankful to be a part of a congregation for even a brief period of time. And I know that God has got something good for each one of you to do and to accomplish for His glory. So this morning I ask you, pay attention to what God is saying to you. That still small voice may be calling you to achieve and to do something that you didn't think you were going to be good at. You have wonderful ministerial staff here, and I know that God will call just the right person to lead you. But listen to their voices as they interest you and try to show you the things that can be accomplished, because there is a great work that God is waiting to do through each one of you. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for this time that we've had together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us this one miracle that's included in every one of the Gospels. Help us to see that if we'll trust you and walk with you and use the gifts that you've called us to use, that you'll not only call us out and gift us, but you'll empower us and you'll give us purpose and plan that we might be a true force in this life. Bless us now. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. What's our hymn of invitation? Make me a blessing. Would you please stand and respond? I'll be down front to welcome those of you that would like to make any decision. Would you sing along with us as we sing the hymn of invitation?
Go out this morning, I do want to remind you, Sunday night ministries tonight, fellowship meal at 5 o'clock, children's and youth activities and adult ministries following that this evening. I encourage you to come out tonight. Before we leave, we also have some celebrations that I wanted to announce this morning, Dr. Farmer. First off, we're excited to have Tyler Watkins back with us this morning. Tyler is serving our country in the military. He'll be going in next week or two to California for some training, and then down the road will be stationed over in Japan for 6 months. So please speak to Tyler as you leave this morning, and thank him for his service to our country. We also have an exciting announcement from Austin Evans. Austin, who has grown up in our church through the youth program here, is now a freshman at Appalachian State University.
I'm going to go ahead and announce them, if that's okay, Austin. Austin has been chosen to serve as a youth work site leader this summer for mission trips like our youth group goes on. He will be stationed somewhere. He doesn't know where, but he will be this summer for 3 months serving as a missionary, working with high school students and middle school students as they come to serve God. So speak to Austin this morning. Tell him you're proud of him, and we're excited to see what God may do. Next Sunday morning, come out at 9 o'clock to celebrate Carrie and Webb Sockwell awaiting their arrival of their first child. We'll have a baby shower for them next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. I hope all of you will come out and celebrate with them next Sunday morning. We go out in celebration. We go out called, as Dr. Farmer said this morning.
Join me in prayer. Father God, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, another opportunity to serve you. Help us to find those ways and open our hearts to your leadership that you might direct us in order that we might serve you, obey you, follow you, and be a blessing to others. I ask this now in the name of our powerful Savior, in Jesus Christ. Amen.